You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to Monday. Welcome to First Things First. I'm Jenna Wolf. That's Nick Wright. Joining us this morning is Bart Scott.
What up, man?
What up, Bart Scott?
I'm in a spot seat. That's
so, we usually air five, but today we did...
Yeah, we're right next to each other.
Get yourself some PRL,
nope.
Brother.
Nope.
I mean, ASAP, bring it over.
12 games on the NFL docket yesterday. I hope, Bart, you, like me, watched all 36 hours of them, because who needs a life when you've got football? Let us start with the big one. Game of the week, Dak Prescott on the Dallas Cowboys taking on Tom Brady and the Patriots in Foxborough. Pick it up in the first quarter. No score. Also, Brady to the rookie N'Keal Harry for his first career touchdown. It was a beauty. Pats take a 7-0 lead. We jump to the fourth. Cowboys down four and driving. Dak to Ezekiel Elliott for the first down, but Dallas penalized for a questionable tripping call. They got two tripping calls in this game. Couple of plays later, Dak finds Amari Cooper on a beautiful 4th-and-11 play. Big first down, but the play is reviewed, and you can see the ball hits the ground. Turnover on down. Zero catches for Amari on the day. Patriots hold on for the 13-9 win. All right, Nick, this was a game the Cowboys could have won, very easily could have won this game. Who do you blame for Dallas's loss?
Well, I'll tell you first who I'm not going to blame. I'm not going to blame the officials. The tripping calls were awful. There had been seven tripping calls in the league all year. There were two in this game. They were both questionable. But guess what? Welcome to playing the New England Patriots the last two decades. In Gillette, outside of Gillette, there's going to be usually at least one call a game that goes in their favor. Bake that into the math when you're figuring out if you can beat them. And had that last one not been called tripping, and they had gotten the 3rd-and-1, they still got 63 yards to go to score on the best defense in football. So who do I blame? I blame Jason Garrett and the coaching staff. The reason I picked the New England Patriots in this game was not only because of home field, but because of the giant discrepancy in coaching, and it showed up in every facet of the game. Whether it was the Cowboys special teams that were high schoolish, whether it's their own punt coverage, whether it's their own kick returns, whatever it is, they get it. We didn't show it in the highlight, but what led to the Patriots' one touchdown was a blocked punt, something they did against Buffalo to get the deciding touchdown. They then got it against Dallas to get the deciding touchdown. They couldn't recover their own kickoffs. They couldn't figure out the Patriots are kicking it short. All of that up to and then at the end of the game, the Patriots had allowed two red zone drives all season at home. The Cowboys got two of them in this football game, and they did the thing on Friday we said they couldn't do. We said if they are settling for 27-yard field goals, they've lost.
Also a coaching decision.
Right. Well, exactly right. Well, they kicked a 27-yarder and a 29-yarder, and the last one is inexplicable and unforgivable. You have a 4th-and-7. Shouldn't even been in the 4th-and-7 if you would have run the ball earlier on the downs. But regardless, down 7 points with 6 minutes left. Kicking a field goal there is a give-up move for a coach that appears to be out of answers if he ever had them. So the Cowboys were a more talented team. The Cowboys were the team that needed it more. The Cowboys were the team that in a lot of aspects of the game, aside from their passing attack into the Patriots' pass defense, you would have given the check mark in their favor. Hell, they even have the better special teams in theory because they got a real kicker and the Patriots on the third kicker. And they couldn't score a single touchdown. They couldn't put themselves in position to score a touchdown. I put that on Jason Garrett.
To Nick's point, I have to agree with him. It definitely has to be the coaching staff. When you think about the decisions made, you talk about in the red zone going forward on third down with a screen pass, a low percentage play against a team that's coached so well, like the Patriots. But if I say the name Joe Judge to people, they wouldn't know who that is. But, you know, one thing that the Patriots do, they put an emphasis on every facet of the game. When you talk about those mishandled kickoffs and things of that, you're talking about bloop kicks. You're talking about understanding the elements, understanding that you're making people feel the ball that aren't used to feeling the ball. And even if they, you know, catch it, they're not athletic enough because they're part of the wedge to be able to move the ball. And you think about Jason Garrett and you think about this team always getting off the slow starts. How are you going to beat a team like the Patriots in Gillette when you start off in a 10-0 deficit? And that's because of the coach. That's because coaching. That's because Slater, you know, they should have known that they had a special teams unit that really was unique. And what the Patriots do that's different from other teams, they put starters on special teams because it's just that important. And you think about Bill Belichick, his background at special teams. He was the special team coordinator before, and something is going on with this Dallas team, why they can't get off the fast starts. In 8 of their 11 games, they've started allowing the opposing team to get ahead. And you hear the frustration in Jerry Jones's voice because he's saying he shouldn't be this frustrated from a team that's this talented. They've gone out and got Robert Quinn. They've gone out and paid Ezekiel Elliott. And an honorary mention has to go to Dak Prescott, because what we've seen when teams beat the Patriots, and it's only been one this year, but when we've seen teams that beat the Patriots, it's because their quarterback was special. Now, Dak did nothing to lose the game, but he wasn't elite. He didn't make the winning plays that ultimately good quarterbacks, franchise quarterbacks, do when you have to beat, you know, Tom Brady and the New England
Patriots. And just real quick, you said people don't know the name Joe Judge. Joe Judge, the Patriots special teams coordinator, who just outclassed any coach on the Cowboys coaching staff the whole game.
What was the stat that you gave us on Friday about where the Patriots are when leading at the half?
They were 104-1 since Brady took over at home when leading at half, which was another reason why you looked at the drive, right? People are going to focus on the drive at the end of the game where they settled for a field goal, but the drive at the end of the half when they settled for a field goal. Like, you are playing in the toughest environment in sports. Yeah. And what you can't do is, you mentioned Dak, it would be an honorary mention for blame. After the punt is blocked and you're down 7-0, what you can't allow is the avalanche of mistakes. Yep. And Dak makes his one big mistake three plays later. The Cowboys did not have a plan. When they got down in the red zone after the one big pass play the whole game, the Randall Cobb play, where, by the way, that one almost turned into a disaster because the ball's punched out when Cobb's running up the sideline. He's just lucky enough to bring it back in. You have to know you are in four down territory immediately. And when you run the ball with Zeke on first down and get in a 2nd and 7, when Zeke actually didn't get as many touches as he should have, but he was effective, what you need to say there as a coaching staff is, it is situational football. A few weeks ago, the Cowboys got criticized for going to Zeke too often. It was in perfect conditions. Dak was playing great. This was terrible conditions. Dak was struggling. 2nd and 7 inside the 15-yard line. The question needs to be, if we hand the ball to Zeke on 2nd down, on 3rd down, and on 4th down if we need to, can we get 7 yards? Can we just run Zeke repeatedly till we score a touchdown? Instead, he didn't touch the ball again. You throw a ball to Jason Witten, and then you throw a ball to Blake Jarwin, the only pass all game, by the way, that crossed the mouth of the goal line, the only pass that, if caught, could have actually immediately resulted in a touchdown, but Dak throws it out the back of the end zone, and now you're kicking a field goal as opposed to going for it, even if you don't get it.
Right.
The Pats are backed up inside their own 15, and you're still, even after you made the field goal, they needed a touchdown. If they hadn't kicked the field goal, they needed a touchdown. It made no sense.
Bart, what does it say about this team that, once again, they fail to beat a team that's above 500? They can't beat good teams.
And we know that they're personal. They have one of the best rosters in the game. That's why the coach is on the hot seat. That's why he's been, you know, rumored to potentially, if he's let go, to be a head coach for the Giants. Yep. Also, I think the elephant in the room is Matt Rhule. We thought it would be Lincoln Riley, but Matt Rhule and what he's doing in Baylor, you know, I think it's really putting pressure on them because, you know, we've seen this happen with Tampa Bay before, right? We've seen Tony Dungy, good coach, just couldn't get him over the hump. What did they do? They brought a guy in like Gruden because they know the clock is running out. The clock is running out for this Cowboys core. This core, because they know once you play Dak Prescott, then now you're going to have to start losing some of your most valuable pieces. And, you know, this is the window that they're in. They went all in. They brought in Quinn. They traded for Bennett. They're trying to win right now. And I think they were fooled with the light schedule earlier, and they're in trouble because their schedule continues to get, you know, a lot harder on a short week against the Buffalo Bills that play tremendous defense with a quarterback that's unpredictable. He can be great and he can be, you know, he can ruin the game. So this team is going to have to figure it out in short order. And if they really care about their coach, they're going to win some tough games, because if they don't make it to the playoffs, and listen, we know that the wild card player isn't coming from this team, isn't coming from this division. If they do that with the best team arguably in the NFL, with Jason Garrett's going to be saying bye-bye.
Absolutely. Jason Garrett, I think the last truly important game Jason Garrett ever coached was last week. I think we'll hear from Jerry Jones later. Jerry Jones seems to know it as well.
He seems to know that. And the Cowboys got a bit of a break in the Eagles' loss yesterday, which we'll talk about, but still was not a great afternoon for them. Time to put a grade on it, sponsored by CarMax. Okay, it wasn't a pretty game for New England either. Few of them are on offense, but the Patriots did improve to 10-1 with the win yesterday. So, Nick, put a grade on the Patriots' overall performance.
I give them an A-. They did everything well except for throw the football. They were excellent on special teams. I don't care about the missed kicks. They got a third kicker that they've had, and they
also
ran into
the weather
wind.
Was brutal.
But they were excellent in the other aspects of special teams. The defense continues to be exceptional. Coaching was an A++. So I give them an A-. The passing game drags them down a bit.
I give them a C+, because this is a heavily flawed football team. If you don't have the block punt, the interception in territory, this offense is not good enough, I feel, to get them deep in the NFL, get them deep in the playoffs. When you look at what they have to go through, the gauntlet, maybe Kansas City, they have to figure something out. I mean, the rumors of maybe Antonio Brown coming back, you may have to consider and say, you know what, we're going to do something that we normally don't do as the Patriots, because if Mohamed Sanu doesn't come back and be effective, and I don't know if he does come effective, they're the third best team, I believe, in the AFC.
Wow. All right. Well, meanwhile, the Patriots pick up their 18th straight regular season game. Bart didn't think it was a pretty one. It still counts in the win column. All right, here we go. Carson Wentz and a day to forget against the Seahawks. So the Eagles quarterback finished with 2 interceptions and 2 lost fumbles. And to make matters worse, he suffered an injury to his throwing hand. X-rays were negative, but he will have additional tests to rule out any potential issues. Seahawks win 17-9, the final. Philadelphia now falls to 5-6 on the season. Here's Carson Wentz after the game.
I have to, you know, be better. I have to lead this team better. I got to protect the football better. We can't put it on the ground the way we did. And it starts with me. It starts with me, and I'm frustrated. I know everyone's frustrated with this loss offensively. I mean, like I said, turning the ball over starts with me. I got to be better, and we will be.
Nick, is it starting to look like Carson Wentz isn't quite the quarterback that Philadelphia thought he was?
And he certainly isn't the quarterback I thought he was. And I tried to dive into this last night and this morning because I'm like, how could he look so good 2 years ago and look so average last year and bad this year? And what I realized was even 2 years ago, the only thing he did special were raw touchdown passes. His completion percentage was below league average. His yards per attempt was right at league average. His yards per game were around league average. But he had 33 touchdown passes in 13 games to only 7 interceptions, which is what was putting him in the driver's seat for MVP. But since then, his yards per attempt have gone down even further. His completion percentage right now is 21st in football. His yards per attempt are 30th. His passer rating is 20th. And yesterday was a perfect example of some of the issues with the Eagles' offense right now, most notably with Carson Wentz. Seattle did not play that well offensively. Seattle got 1 touchdown early, and then from that moment on, Philadelphia had 7 possessions before Seattle got in the end zone again on the long run by Rashad Penny. 7 possessions with a chance to tie or take the lead. And here's what they did. Carson Wentz fumble, Carson Wentz pick, 3 and out, Carson Wentz fumble, and a 5-play, 11-yard drive that led to a punt. And then Seattle said, OK, if you're not going to take it, we, I guess, will. Rashad Penny goes for 60 and the game's essentially over at 17-3. The question I would have for folks, and again, I appear to have been very wrong on Carson Wentz. What does he do that's special? What is the thing that Carson Wentz does? We're like, wow, that's he's top five at that in the NFL. Because Bart, his MVP season, or his near MVP season, it was making plays off schedule.
Okay.
But in today's NFL, with Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes and those guys and Russell, Carson Wentz is good at making plays off schedule, but he's no longer elite at that because the rest of the league's gotten better at it. So what does Carson Wentz do that's special? I can't find the thing right now, which to me is very surprising given how good I thought he was just 12 games ago.
I think what we're looking at is a team that's run out of moves, right? They've been one of the most active franchises in the past in bringing in and acquiring talent, bringing in talent. They go out, they bring Deshaun Jackson back. Yep. You know, they make the trade a couple years ago for Alshon Jeffries, and they always was acquiring talent. But I just feel like they're out of moves. They didn't have a move this season before the trade deadline. They lost Darren Sproles. You know, they lost a lot of talented players. Jay Ajayi, he left. They brought him back. And you look at, you know, you're talking about his yards per attempt. Yeah, 7 yards?
Is yards per attempt right now or is it about 6.5 yards per
attempt? Like 6.5.
30th in the NFL.
And most of those receptions go to who?
Tight ends.
Right, Zach Ertz, right? Zach Ertz, again, 3 games with 9 or more receptions. So you're not going to have a lot of, yardage, per attempt isn't going to be up that way because he has no receivers.
Short passes.
Yeah, all short passes, he has no receivers. Who's he throwing the ball to? You talk about the drops of his receivers. You talk about the inability of the receivers to get open. I think he is an elite talent. I just think that he's not surrounded around talent. Once again, another team that's linked to Antonio Brown because they understand that he doesn't have any talent around him. So he's carrying this football team, and this offensive line is getting older, and you know they're a little bit. This is their last chance. This is their last chance, and then they're out of the window because he's paid, and they're going to lose a lot of talented players. They've had injuries on the back end. You talk about Rashad Penny, what he was able to do. That's controlling the line of scrimmage. He had a career day, and the turnovers is because he's out of desperation trying to make plays off schedule, but he doesn't have anybody to be open. Just remember, we were just talking about Nelson Aguilar being trolled by the kid that was catching babies out of a building, and the first thing that he went to is the fact that Nelson Aguilar can't catch. No elite players at that end. So how does he score? How does he has to manufacture everything. Too much on his shoulders.
But yesterday he was missing 3 wide receivers. He was missing a running back. He was missing 2 offensive linemen. Could you say that maybe injuries have plagued this season?
Of course injuries have played a part of it. But then don't turn the ball over 4 times. Like if you're going to
what
have
does that
to
mean?
Play,
he's trying to do too much.
Whatever he's trying to do, it ain't working. and if you know you're going to have to play a game that 13 points might win, then and by the way, I understand Seattle ended up scoring 17, but that was after all of the turnovers. Then your number one job is take care of the football because this was one of Russell Wilson's worst games of the year.
Yeah.
Seattle, even the running game, the numbers look great because Rashad Penny popped that big one for 60 yards. Yeah. But that was after Philadelphia had chance after chance to win this game. But I don't want to put it all on Carson Wentz. There was also, to me, a moment at the end of the game that was odd. And you speak to this from a defensive player. Tell me if I'm reading too much into it. They're down 17-3 in the fourth quarter, and I am all for celebrations. I'm all for celebrating when you do something successful. I'm not the guy that gets mad at that. But when Philadelphia has been bad all year in a game that they have to have and they're losing at home, and you're down 17-3 and you pick off Russell Wilson with 8 minutes left in the game and you do the team photo in the end zone.
Yeah.
That to me is a bit of an indictment on Doug Peterson. And I know we've said, oh, Philly's the fun team.
Right.
Well, that was maybe a little too much fun in the wrong circumstances. Do you think I'm wrong?
No, absolutely.
There?
I mean, you celebrate the interception because you're happy that you made a big play and potentially get your team back in it. But as far as the team photo, I think that's the most overdone thing right now in sports. They find the camera and they go and they do their own team celebration that they've been practicing on. If they've been doing a little bit more practicing, maybe they wouldn't be getting hit smash mouth in the mouth.
Well, and it's a bad photo because the photo I see is the screenshot from the actual broadcast, which shows all the Eagles celebrating. And it says on the bottom score, Seattle 17, PHI 3 with 8.5 minutes left. It's like the hell's going on here. And so Philly right now, the best thing Philly has going for it is that they're in the NFC East. And the best thing the Cowboys have going for it is they're in the NFC East.
Mm-hmm.
And Philly, by the way, Philly still might make the playoffs.
Oh, I'm picking them to win a division
because of who they have left on their schedule. But it won't be a long playoff life for whoever comes out of this division.
Meanwhile, lost in the Philly mess, the Seattle Seahawks are undefeated on the road so far this year. They are playing tremendous football. All right, Brady had a tough game yesterday. So did Aaron Rodgers. Ooh. Green Bay in the Bay, and this was all Niners from the get-go. San Fran sacked Aaron Rodgers 5 times, pestered the heck out of the guy all night. Jimmy G, on the other hand, 14 for 20, 253 yards and 2 touchdowns. With his favorite target, George Kittle, hauling in 6 catches.
How does he get so open?
For 129 yards, and this, his first score since coming back from being injured. Niners win big 37-8. They improve to 10-1. Packers with the loss fall to 8-3. Here's Richard Sherman on his quarterback.
Jimmy Garoppolo is our leader, and we will follow him into the darkest of dark. We'll follow him into a dark alley, and I guarantee you won't touch him. Because you got guys that he goes to battle and to fight for us every day, and we have an obligation to go to battle and to fight for him.
We kind of thought the Chargers loss would be their one big disastrous loss of the season. Nick, do you have any doubts about the Packers after what you saw last night?
Yeah, last night was not good. This is my Super Bowl pick out of the NFC. They played a team that right now is the Super Bowl favorite out of the NFC, and they looked outclassed. And it's the worst game I've ever seen Aaron Rodgers play. Yeah. And
the worst game.
The worst game. He dropped back 38 times. They got 66 yards on those 38 dropbacks. Wow. If you take away the yards from sacks, and the first 8 drives of the game, there's the strip sack, 6 yard, 1 yard, -3 yards, 1 extended drive, 52 yards, turnover on downs on that one, 0 yards, 4 yards, -7.
Wow.
And good night, good luck, we'll see you next week. And this was a wildly important game for Green Bay. They're coming off a bye. The Niners have looked wobbly for a few weeks now. The Cardinals almost beat them. Then the Seahawks did beat them. Then the Cardinals had them beat until a great play at the end of the game by San Francisco. This was the time to get the Niners. They know they've got road games against Baltimore, New Orleans, and Seattle all still coming up. That they could go from the 1 seed to the 5 seed like that.
Yeah.
And Green Bay got mollywopped. An old-fashioned butt-kicking. And, I still think the Packers, at their best, can beat anybody. But they had an opportunity to show it last night, and this game was over 10 minutes in.
Yeah, styles make fights, and this just is a bad matchup. I think the better matchup is the Saints because they're a physical football team against that.
The Niners.
It's just... He struggled against teams that have guys who can get pressure with you with 4, and you can say that about any quarterback, right? But also that cover 3 where they're just kind of looking and lurking. And once again, you know, when did Jimmy Graham become a bum? Like, I mean, I've never seen a guy go from, like, being one of the most biggest matchup nightmares in the game. He was Kittle's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now he's just not elite, and now they need a second receiver. They gave up a lot to bring him there. And if you take Devontae Adams away, what can you do? And I just think that this offense has been, you know, getting us with smoke and mirrors because of that defense has been so elite, getting turnovers and change of possessions, and they really haven't figured this thing out. You know, they can't manufacture big plays. I'm sorry, they can't manufacture big plays. And you look at when the San Francisco 49ers have struggled, it's against teams that have mobile quarterbacks, and you think of Aaron Rodgers like that, but he really wasn't making plays and making them pay with that cover 3, everybody dropping back, and he was trying to fit into tight windows, and those receivers, once again, can't get separation.
Aaron Rodgers said in that press conference, we were prepared. We were prepared all week. We were prepared in practice. Mentally, we were set. Physically, we felt good. So
they're
if
just
you're
better.
Players, what does that mean they're just better? Some people think the Packers are just better than the 49ers. How do you come out with all that preparation?
Because they couldn't block them. Because they just couldn't block them. That game was won by the Niners defensive
line. The trenches.
Now, you can, to me, what the Packers allowed the Niners to do when the Niners had the ball, that's some real that shouldn't have happened. Emmanuel Sanders was there, but barely. He was clearly still dealing with an injury. Matt Breed is not playing.
Yeah.
Kittle is the only guy who can hurt you, and you let Kittle kill you. That can't happen. And I want to give credit to the Niners because they now put the – it was an enormous spot for them and their first opportunity post-Seattle to prove doubters like me, like, no, we are as good as our record says we are. But your point about matchups is the key one. If this game happens in the postseason, I still think the Packers can make the Super Bowl. But I think they have to avoid the Niners on the path because you're not getting new offensive linemen. And that Niners front won this football game. That's all it was. Now, Jimmy Garoppolo, I want to give him credit. He played very, very well.
Yeah.
But he didn't have to play well because of how great that Niners D front was. And they didn't even have D Ford yesterday.
I've been that team before. I mean, that type of team makes you make decisions, business decisions.
You've been which side?
I've been San Francisco, a physical football team, and the Green Bay Packers aren't designed to beat physical football teams. They can't really stop the run up the middle because they're light, and they have to beat teams that are more finesse teams because they really are a finesse team that are built to play from ahead and let those pass rushers on defense and those corners on the outside stop you. They're not a team that's going to stop you at the point of attack. When we've seen them struggle, they struggle against teams that can run the football. You've seen them struggle against Philadelphia Eagles early in the season where they just got hit in the mouth.
All right, big win for San Francisco. 10-1 record. Best team in the NFC.
Should be 10-0-1 if they'd have just taken
the tie. I know. Are you ready for what's ahead? You can't always predict the future, but you can game plan for it. Generations of families and businesses have harnessed the power of Pacific to help them reach their unique goals. Whether you need to save money to meet your needs, ensure your family is protected, or make sure you don't run out of money, Pacific Life has a variety of financial solutions that can help. Pacific Life counts more than half of the 100 largest U.S. companies as its clients and has been named one of the 2019 World's Most Ethical Companies by the Ethisphere Institute. Protecting what matters most to people for 150 years and counting, that's the power of Pacific. Ask a financial professional about how Pacific Life can help you game plan for your future or visit www.pacificlife.com. All right, guys, time now for drawing a blank. Here we go. Jimmy G carried the Niners to a blowout win over the Packers last night, finishing 14 of 20. He had 253 yards and two touchdowns. But Bart, will let you decide. The most impressive individual performance on Sunday was blank.
I'm going to go Drew Brees. On a day where clearly the defense didn't have their best stuff, he was able to manufacture a game-winning drive. I think his 36th fourth-quarter game-winning drive. And we knew there was no doubt once that field goal was missed that he was going to get his guys in position to win the game. I think they're the best team in the NFC, the most complete team in the NFC, and eventually this defense will get back to playing elite like it was early in the year.
Yeah, I really liked Derrick Henry yesterday. 8.4 yards a carry, 160 yards, two touchdowns, and just the physical way that he plays and the tone that he sets, it's impressive.
Your friend Mike Vrabel has the Titans in it once again, a team nobody talks about, and Coach might have been the only person in America watching the Titans yesterday during Cowboys Patriots, but I'm glad you gave him a shout-out. I'm going to go to Baker. The Browns absolutely had to have it. Baker was sensational, 320 yards, three touchdowns, found Odell in the end zone for the first time since week two against the Jets, a 119 rating. As the Browns set up, as you mentioned, Bart, what's going to be a hotly contested, tempers flaring rematch with the Pittsburgh Steelers here in a week with maybe that second AFC wildcard spot on the line, but the Titans will have something to say about that as well.
All right, from the good to the bad, Carson Wentz finished with a career-high 4 turnovers against Seattle. Eagles lose 17-9. They dropped to 5-6 on the season. So, Bart, the most disappointing loss yesterday was blank.
Has to be the Oakland Raiders coming all the way across town. You talk about Derek Carr completing 74% of his passes going into the game, you know, playing the New York Jets. You know, for him to get benched in the third quarter, I mean, you talk about the 30-burger put up by the Jets and a dominant performance. You know, you got to go with them because all that they had in mistake, an opportunity to really position themselves for the wild card. They were in the wild card, in the sixth seed, but opportunity to maybe compete for the division, it has to be the Oakland Raiders.
Just real quick on that, it sure seemed like the Raiders were looking ahead. Next week, they're in Kansas City. It would have been 7-4 versus 7-4, division potentially on the line, and they lay an egg beforehand.
Yeah, look, it's hard traveling across the country and playing those early games. But for me, it was the Packers, and they're traveling across the country, and the last time they didn't do very well, and they said they had a better week of practice, a better week of preparation. They come out and start the game the way that they do, and it was disappointing across the board just because Aaron Rodgers, they were dominated defensively. Their offense was dominated by San Francisco's defense, and Aaron Rodgers had no chance throughout that game to get anything going.
I'm with you on the Packers because of the missed opportunity. Since Aaron Rodgers has been the quarterback, the Packers have been one of the best teams in football, we think, and the Niners have had one good stretch of football. Yet over that stretch of time, they have the same number of first-round buys, the same number of conference championship game appearances, the same number of Super Bowl appearances. Green Bay obviously won theirs. Yep. San Francisco lost theirs. And now the Niners are the team positioned for a first-round bye. Green Bay is the team that's positioned to once again have a very difficult road to the Super Bowl. And by the way, they now have the same record as the Minnesota Vikings, and Green Bay all of a sudden could be the 5 seed if they drop another game. So the Packers, and because they were just annihilated. For all those reasons, I say Green Bay. I agree with Coach.
All right, move on to the New England Patriots. It was a wet game. It was an ugly game. It was a cold and windy game in Foxborough. But Tom Brady and the Patriots did what they do best. They just won the game, taking down the Cowboys 13-9. Bart, the best team win yesterday was blank.
I'm going to go to Seattle Seahawks. You know, talk about teams that struggle going across country. Well, this is a team that didn't. You know, you look at what they were able to do in running the ball and finding ways to win. You know, without their best defensive player in Jadeveon Clowney, Ziggy Ansah stepped up, turned the clock back a little bit, got 1.5 sacks, and they harassed him, was able to get 4 turnovers, put their team on short fields and make the game-winning plays. Got to go to Seattle.
Yeah, to me, it's got to be the Patriots. And I hear people talk about New England's victories, and they say, well, it wasn't pretty, or they had to use a trick play, or whatever the case. It doesn't matter how you get the victory. It's collective, and they were able to gain an edge on special teams yesterday. Tom's playing again with two receivers that really are getting some of their first work. N'Keal Harry getting his first work. It's just impressive the way that they're able to collectively come together and find a way to win, and it's going to not always be pretty, but it doesn't have to be pretty.
Yeah, because the question is best team win, it has to be New England, because once again, they won a game despite their passing attack giving them nothing. They manufactured points, block a punt, force a turnover, win the field position battle, do all the little things that you have to do against a theoretically good opponent in Dallas when your passing game can bring nothing to the table. So I give credit to the Patriots defense, their coaching staff, their special teams, all of it, because that was a team victory because of what they had to offset in the passing game.
How long can they get away with this?
Well, through 12.
Well, look what they've done so far.
No, I understand that. But
it's one of those things where they never look back. So they'll just look forward and figure out the formula for that one game.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.